Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
So he grabs the lion and he rips him apart. And if you read the books...
With his bare hands.
Yeah, yeah. If you read the books of Jubilee and the books of Jasher, you'll know, even this book, the book of the Bible, you'll know that the true Hebrew in his pure form, before he was polluted with the seed of the serpent, is a very, very powerful. The males are very, very powerful creatures. I mean, multiple times strength of a single man, able to leap up onto walls. Their voices could crumble rock when used properly. Yeah, oh, that sounds mystical. No, it's absolutely fact. Jesus. And Samson is part of what's in this Bible that tells you Jubilees and Jasher are exactly right. What'd you say, Jonathan?
I was just about to say, I don't think Jesus had a PA system when he was on the side of the mount.
No, absolutely right. He spoke to those 5,000 and 7,000, and every one of them heard him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him. He ripped that lion in half, as he would have rent a kid. He had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Remember about that dead lion along the road. It's going to it's going to play a role here in a minute. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. She looked good. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. Behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them. They did not eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Now, what is wrong with that? He's a Nazarite. Mm-hmm. He shall eat no unclean thing.
Yeah.
So the spiritual protection of Samson is going to be dwindled away by some of the things that Samson is going to do. Well, they did eat. You're right. Yeah. Somehow seen that they didn't eat.
Gotcha.
Good catch there. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast. For so used the young men to do. It came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you, but you can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out. Then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if you cannot declare it me, then shall you give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle that we may hear it. Now this is interesting. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not 3 days expound the riddle. What in the world? You know, I just read the story in the last couple of verses, and I know exactly what it is, but how could you ever guess that riddle? And it came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Wow. This wasn't just, you know,
or else.
This was not trivia at the pub.
Right.
You know? Right. If we can't come up with this riddle, so we're going to burn your house if you don't tell us what it means. Came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto his wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have he called us to take that we have? Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. He said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and I shall tell it thee. She wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. It came to pass on the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. She told the riddle to the children of her people. So she got it out of him.
Mm-hmm. And went and reported.
And the men of the city said unto him on the 7th day, before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, and this is derogatory terms for women. Some of them come out of the Bible. If ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. If he had not talked to my wife, you would have never found this out. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle.
So you still held up his end of the bargain.
He held up his end of the bargain. Yeah. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his champion, whom he had used as his friend. That's the one he had just taken for wife. And they didn't even get through the 7-day marriage ceremony.
Right.
Before she proved to be unworthy. Chapter 15, Between the Lines, with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7. Book of Judges, chapter 15. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of the wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. And he said, I will go into my wife unto the chamber, but her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy champion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. So you've done this to me, I will not be blamed when I harm you. Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. So he basically catches 300 foxes, he ties them tail to tail and puts a lit torch on the tails. When he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burn up both the shocks and all the standing corn with the vineyards and the olives. And the Philistines said, Who hath done this? They answered, Samson, the son-in-law to the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his champion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. So Samson got his revenge. He didn't leave it up to God. He did it himself. And his wife, that had been given to his friend, they come and burn her because of it. You caused this. You caused Samson. And you see, they're not going directly at Samson because they know the power of this Hebrew. Mm-hmm. The true Hebrew was a powerful creature. You know? Two of Jacob's sons, because of their sister's defilement, took out an entire city. And Samson said unto them, Though ye have done this, yet I will be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Etam. And the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, Why are ye come up against us? And they answered, To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us. Okay, so they gather a whole bunch of men, and they're going to get a hold of Samson and bind him. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? So his own people are coming now because the Philistines are really mad and making life terrible for the rest of the Israelis. So 3,000 of the men of Judah come up and say, Hey, you know, you're really stirring things up. Things are not good for us. Don't you know they rule over us? What are you doing? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, As they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they said unto him, We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, Swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. He doesn't want to fight Hebrews. He wants to fight Philistines. Okay, yeah, bind me up and take me down there. Mm-hmm. Just promise me once you bind me, you won't kill me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee unto their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. They bound him with two new cords and brought him in from the rock. When he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and he put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. He picks up this jawbone with teeth in it and just starts swinging, and he takes out 1,000 Philistines. Because with the power of God, he just broke the ropes. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And, you know, I've heard preachers even disparage the story of Samson. Oh, they didn't believe themselves, and they're up in the pulpit trying to teach it. This is a true Hebrew, brought up as a Nazarite, with the power of God for a purpose to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Nothing is impossible for this man through the power of God. It came to pass, when he was made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramath Lehi. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. Now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. Samson, just like all the rest, comes out of a great battle and then doesn't believe God can even give him water. Disbelief. But God clave in a hollow place that was in the jaw. There came water thereout. When he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof Enhakkori, which is in the Lehi unto this day. So what else have we done here, Nazarite? Now we drank water out of something dead. We picked up something dead and we fought with it. That's a no-no for a Nazarite. Touch no unclean thing. Now we drank water out of something dead. First, we ate honey out of the carcass of a dead lion. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Chapter 16, Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. Glad you could be with us in God's amazing word of truth. You have to look at every word. Look at every sentence. Take some words back to the Hebrew. Find the meanings. Read them over and over and over and over again. I've read this book 100 times through and more. And different passages hundreds of times. And God still gives me things. When I look at them, I earnestly look at them and devour them. God gives me spiritual meanings to black and white words that I've read hundreds of times. Chapter 16, Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot, and went in unto her. Yes, Nazarite, that's what you do. Mm-hmm. So, there was no marriage ceremony. Not that God requires that. We've learned that already. Man goes in unto a woman, he's married.
Congratulations.
Yes. How many marriages have you had out there, Christian? Do you have to take your socks off to count along with your fingers? And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city. They were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city. These things are massive. A door to the gate of a city might be made up of 12 logs. Mm-hmm. 1,200 pounds apiece, possibly.
15 foot tall.
Yes. And Samson lay till midnight and arose in the midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them. Bar and all. Now the bar is the log they lay across that locks the door. And when you normally see men putting up there's two men on each side with it on their shoulder and they set it in place.
Giant railroad tie.
Yes. He took the doors and the post that held the doors and the log that locks the door. Probably talking 4,000 or 5,000 pounds. Carried them up on the top of a hill that is in Hebron. Came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. So he's getting around. Forget all that Nazarite stuff. But it's for God's purpose. Everything in this book is choreographed. He had to raise up a champion, and he did it with the finest bloodlines he could find. And he kept him as pure as possible. and then he sent them into the camp of the Philistines. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see whether wherein his great strength lieth, by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. We will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. Find out what the source of your boyfriend's strength is.
And you'll get paid.
Yes, it'd been hundreds of years since they seen a real Hebrew in this land. Years ago, they knew what a real Hebrew could do. That's why all the surrounding people feared Jacob's clan. Dare not go up against him. Seeing what his two sons did to that one city. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth. She's probably stroking his face. Oh, tell me, Samson. You know, I'll do whatever you want later. Just tell me where your great strength lieth. And wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. How would you bind someone?
Red flag.
Yes.
He plays with her.
How would you bind someone of your massive strength? You know, if someone were to bind someone like you, how would they do it to where you wouldn't be able to break free? And Samson's a proud man. You can see that. Because he's laying his Nazarite aside and putting himself first. Samson said unto her, in the way he talked to his parents, if thy bind me with seven green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. He's jesting with her. You know, take these seven binding straps of green, never been dried before, you know, like hemp plants. Green. And if they're green, oh, but we always dry that out and make rope out of it. Yeah, but if you do it with it's when it's green, so you know, when sure. it's tenderest point, then spiritually I'll be bound and I'll be like another man. Yeah. And the lords of the Philistines brought up to her seven greens, which they had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the wits as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. So it was all a big jest. He was having fun with her. There was no way those green twigs were going to hold him. Mm-mm. Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me, told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. So she's going to use her womanly charms and get to the bottom of this. She wants those 1,100 shekels of silver from each one of those lords. That was a lot of money. She could have been a princess. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that have never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Oh, new ropes this time. Oh, that's the key. If it's an old rope that's been touched by someone else, then okay, so brand new ropes. They bind you with brand new ropes, then you'll be bound. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, Philistines be upon thee, Samson. There were liars in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like threads. Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. You know what? I'm tired of this. You know, you like hanging out with me. I can tell. All that can come to an end, big boy. Mm-hmm. You keep telling me these lies. You know, you can go find yourself another hoochie mama. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with a web. Getting close. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. Really? Again, you tell me lies?
It's the third time.
And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? You'd say you love me.
Janagra let me tie you up and get you kidnapped?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You love me, but you won't tell me the source of your strength. I just don't understand that. We're supposed to be soulmates. We're supposed to tell each other all our secrets. And I know. Yeah, I think you're pretty fond of me, I can tell. Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. Came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. A nagging woman.
I'll say married with children popped in my head.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, Peg. Yeah. Yes, Peg. Yeah. So, she was trying to woo him with her charm. Now, she's just nagging. And he loves her. Well, he's at least in lust with her. Doesn't want to leave her. Just nag, 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 nag daily. He was vexed. It says his soul was vexed unto death. Oh my gosh, I'm going to die if this nagging continues. So much that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not a razor upon mine head, for I've been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Not actually Samson, but that's what you believed. The hair meant nothing. And God is tired of this, and he's ready to bring the avengement on the Philistines. Samson's source of power was God. It was nothing to do with the hair, as you'll see later. But in Samson's mind, he didn't attribute his power from God. He attributed it to the fact that he was a Nazarene. Nazarite. But we see here he ate honey out of the carcass of a dead lion. That would have canceled out his Nazarite anointment right there. We see that he sucked water out of a dead jawbone of an ass. That would have canceled out his Nazarite anointment right there. He's laying with prostitutes. That would have canceled out his Nazarite anointment right there. The hair had nothing to do with it. It was just a focus point for God's mission. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. She made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man. She caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Nothing to do with the hair. That is religion. His strength was from God, and it was time for God to bring this mission to a conclusion. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Nothing to do with his hair. It doesn't say, oh, he felt his head and it was bald. Mm-hmm. It says he didn't realize the Lord was not with him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Punishment in the flesh. Disobedience to God equals punishment in the flesh. He's had his eyes burned out. He's on this great grinding mill where you would normally hook up a couple asses or horses. And he's pushing this very heavy wheel all day long. Punishment for sin. Pride and disobedience. Samson's sin. Although he's on a mission from God, he was not obedient to God. And he's paying for it in his flesh right now. It's like I told you earlier, Jesus died for your spiritual sins. One day you'll stand before God and he'll cover them. But you go ahead and sin in this life and watch for the punishment. It will come. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. It's nothing to do with hair. But in Samson's mind, he needs to hold on to the fact that he was a Nazarite one day, one time. But you see, Later, it has nothing to do with the hair. He finally figures it out, and he asks for something. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, "Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." No, the God of heaven hath delivered Samson, your enemy, into your hand for your destruction. When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." It came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may make us sport. Bring up Samson out of the grinding mill, that we can mock him and his God while we're having this amazing party. They'll make sport of him." They called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between two pillars. He entertained them just by the fact that his eyes were poked out. Oh, turn him loose. Let's watch him stumble around. They placed him between two pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me, that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." You know, back when, in that age, these temples and these cathedrals that they built were basically enormous blocks set on pillars. No binding reinforcement rods, no concrete to hold them all together. They set up a pillar, and they'd put an enormous, many-ton rock that was cut on it. So you have basically Jumanji blocks sitting on pillars. And he says to the lad, "Take me over to those main pillars over there," because he's blind. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. These are all the leaders of the Philistines. There were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women. Not just the blocks, another 3,000 people up there that beheld while Samson made sport. Samson called unto the Lord. He didn't reach up and feel his hair. He called unto the Lord. O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson wanted to do it for his two eyes. God put him there to release the Israelites from the bondage of the Philistines. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Sin and disobedience ends in death. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtonol in the burying place of Manoah, his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. So he's basically, through this mission that God raised him up for, has just destroyed all of the leadership of the Philistines.
Yep.
So that God could remove Israel from the bondage of them. Had he not been disobedient to God, God would have done it in another fashion. And maybe Samson wouldn't have died there and would have led the rest of the fight. Samson became arrogant and prideful, making demands of his parents, disregarding his anointment as a Nazarite, looking to his hair for strength, when all along it was from God. And at the end, he realized that, "Oh Lord, please strengthen me again." Chapter 17, Book of Judges. Looks like we don't have time for that one today. It's been good to be with you. Book of Judges, one of my favorite books. So full of mysteries, so full of wonder. Read it over and over. Look to it. Make yourself full of God's word. He'll give you the mysteries in his book. Been with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, God's Amazing Manuscript. Basic information before leaving Earth the first few times you read through it. After that, you get more information and more detailed information and then spiritual information. There is no limit to what you can learn out of this book every single time you read it. We'll catch you next time on Between the Lines. Catch up with us on past episodes on WVFFradio.com. It's WVFFradio.com. You'll be amazed. There are things on these episodes that you have not heard in church because the pastors don't know and they haven't read this book in earnest. They were taught things, and they're preaching the things that they were taught. Unfortunately, years ago, religion was corrupted and accepted a storyline. And this is the storyline that we teach as Baptists. This is the storyline we teach as Methodists. This is the storyline we teach as Catholics. That one's ever evolving. Well, they all are. Look at what's going on with the Methodist Church nowadays, you know?
Yeah.
And their transgender
yeah.
psychobabble that they're bringing into God's house. But it's time has expired for us today. Catch us next time on Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. We'll see you later.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan, exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.